Morning, church. Happy Sabbath. It is good to see you. There's a bug going around. Boy, I was sick a couple weeks ago and got over it. And now I'm sick again. But I know when we've been talking to folks and getting ready for Agape and been praying with folks, there's just a lot of our church members that are sick. So I just want to ask you, in your regular prayers, in your daily prayers, keep your brothers and sisters in mind. Pray for each other. This world is just, the Bible says that Satan is the prince of the air. And a lot of times we think about that and we think music. But viruses are in the air too, aren't they? Are viruses from God? They're a form of a broken world, right? I don't want to call them sin, but they come from a broken world. They come from a world that has been cursed, and they were not in God's original design. They are a curse upon us in that regard. Beloved, I'm glad that I guess my thing's not up here. Let me fix that for you. I'm glad that the Lord gave me this topic today because after listening to Elder Tommy this morning, I think a sermon on redemption might be very well appropriate. And an alcoholic. In all seriousness, we have all done things that we are not proud of. We have all done things against God, and we're blessed to serve a Father who loves us in spite of our failures and wants nothing more but to invite us to spend time with Him and to be redeemed from these things. And so this morning, we've got a very special message called Come to the Table, a redemption story for all of us that are unworthy. Before we begin this morning, let's just bow our heads and seek the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, the message today is so simple, yet so profound. And Lord, sometimes when we talk about the simple things, when we talk about things that we already know, we realize that there are diamonds waiting for us to discover. So, Father, this morning we ask that you help us just to commune with you and that you show us in your word what it is that you want us to see. Father, we ask for your blessing and your leading this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one of the most powerful truths in all of Scripture is that God saves by invitation, not by intimidation. The gospel begins with a call to a list of qualifications. It begins with a call to come. There's a song that plays on the radio quite often. I know I quite enjoy it. And it fits the theme of our message today. One of the lines is, come to the table. Come join the sinners that have been redeemed. Do you know this song? That line reflects the heart of redemption. Not polished saints, but redeemed sinners welcomed by grace. Redemption begins with an invitation. Now, I want you to turn your Bibles with me this morning, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke. Luke, we're going to be looking this morning at Luke chapter 14. Luke, the 14th chapter. And here in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, we're going to be starting with verse 16, but we're going to be reading from verse 16 to verse 24 together. And then after we've read through this together, we're going to go back and just take a detailed look at what the Lord is saying to us. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 16. Now I'm going to be reading to you here from the New King James Version. Then he said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are ready now.' But they, all with one accord, began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've gotten a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you, have me excused.' Another said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask to have me excused. Still another, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it's done as you commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come to me that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men that were invited shall taste my supper,'" talking about the men who had refused the invitation. Now let's go back to verse 16 together. "Then he said to him, 'A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant,'" this certain man sent his servant, "'at supper time to say to those who were invited, "'Come, for all things are now ready.'" When are they ready, church? "For all things are now ready." So here we see in this parable that a certain man made a great supper and invited many. Is that right, church? Now, the parable doesn't say, but if you know, go ahead and voice it. Who is the certain man that prepared a great supper? Jesus, God. "Come," he says, "for all things are now ready." Now, I want you to see a few things here. Help me out. The table is prepared before or after the guests arrive? Before, right? "Now, come." "Now, come." You see, the invitation is extended before worthiness is even proven. In other words, beloved, grace precedes response. Redemption is not God waiting for you to improve. It is God announcing everything is ready. You know, one of my favorite authors writes in the book Steps to Christ that before the sinner can come to Christ, the sinner must realize his or her need. The table is not for the self-satisfied. It's for the needy who know that they're hungry. Everything is ready. And while repentance is important, A sinner doesn't need to fully repent. This is steps to Christ. While the repentance is important, the sinner doesn't need to fully repent before coming to Christ. Rather, coming to Christ and accepting his love leads to genuine repentance. As the Bible invites weary souls to find rest in him, not perfect holiness first. In other words, beloved, before the sinner can come to Christ, the sinner must realize his or her need. The table is not for the self-satisfied, it's for the hungry. Luke 14:21. Bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Beloved, these are not accidental guests, right? They are intentionally invited. Redemption includes the ashamed, it includes the broken, it includes the overlooked, it includes those that are spiritually bankrupt. Redemption is available for all of us. By the way, this echoes the song. One of the lines in the song says, you don't have to clean yourself up. Beloved, another book, same author, called Desire of Ages. And by the way, Desire of Ages, out of all the books that I've ever read, is my personal favorite, hands down, from any author. But this author says, Christ came to the world to save sinners, not the righteous. And in Steps to Christ, that same author says, the vilest sinner may be transformed by the grace of Christ. Beloved, redemption does not deny sin. What it does is it overcomes it. Amen. So why then do some people refuse the table? Let's look at verses 18 through 20 together. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground. In other words, I just got some property. And I must go and see it. I ask to have me excused. Hey, thanks for the invite. I really appreciate it. But you know what? I'm busy right now with my possessions. I can't make it. Another said, I bought 5 yokes of oxen and I have to test them. And I ask that you have me excused. Yeah. Hey, thanks for the invite. I really do appreciate it, but I'm busy right now with other priorities. Right? Still another said, I've married a wife and therefore I can't come. Sorry, man, thanks for the invite, but I'm really busy right now with my own self-interests. This is Laodicea. This is the Laodicean narrative that we see in Revelation 3:17. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Beloved, the greatest barrier to redemption is not sin, it is self-sufficiency. Sin does not prevent you from being redeemed. Self-sufficiency, sin does not prevent you from coming to the Father. Sin helps you recognize, not that sin is good, but if you are in sin, you recognize, oh, there's a problem here, I need God. But self-sufficiency will prevent you from coming to the Father. Many refuse the invitation of mercy because they are satisfied with the world. But the table points us to the cross. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Or Isaiah 55:1. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you without money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Now, if you remember, beloved, the last time that I was here with you at Mid Rivers and was preaching, we talked about the promise of power. And if you missed that message, I want to encourage you to go back on YouTube and watch it. But we talked about the currency that we use to buy oil from God is true repentance. Do you remember that? That was the currency that we used to buy the Holy Spirit, that we used to buy oil, is true repentance. But that was talking about a people who at one time already had oil. They already had the Holy Spirit. But here God is saying, if you're not repentful yet, you without money, just come by. Just come by and eat. Come buy the wine and the milk without money and without cost. Come to the table. Come join the sinners that have been redeemed. The scripture says, come to the table, you that thirst. Come to the waters. The gospel never says fix yourself and then come. It always says come and be changed. Beloved, the cross is a revelation to our dull senses of the pain that from its very inception, sin has brought to the heart of God. The table is costly because it is paid for by the blood of Christ. Beloved, did you know that redemption is found in fellowship, not just forgiveness? Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. I want to share a personal story with you this morning. Some of you may have heard this story, so if you have, I apologize, but I haven't shared it publicly, so probably just be a few of you. But when I was a young man, I don't know how old I was. I'm guessing I was around 8. I definitely wasn't older than 10. But when I was a young man, I was sitting at home one Saturday afternoon, a Saturday that my grandmother had tried to get me to go to church. She was a Seventh-day Adventist, and my dad wasn't. He was at one point, but he had left the church and had no kind words to say about it. And so he had given me the option, rather I could go with my grandmother or not, and I chose to stay home and watch Saturday morning cartoons. Anybody remember G.I. Joe? Hey, knowing's half the battle. So while I'm there Saturday morning watching cartoons instead of going to learn about the Lord, I don't know why. Something happened. You know, back then there was only 4 channels and you had to get up and manually change it. But we had color. I mean, praise God. Some people didn't, but we had color. So I'm a little younger than you, Tommy. And I don't know why. I couldn't explain it to you. Holy Spirit. I got up and I changed the channel and there was an evangelistic series going on. And because it was Saturday morning, I'm assuming, in hindsight, looking back, it must have been an Adventist campaign because it was on Saturday. He's preaching this scripture right here. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and come in and dine with him and he with me. And I took it literally. You know, I don't know a young person, you know, we think sometimes that you don't realize that this is kind of a metaphor. And I took it literally and I went to the front door, whatever was being preached at the message, I wanted that. And I went, we had these French doors and I opened the French door and I stood at the French door and I invited God to come in. Just then, at that moment, a gust of wind picked up. So forceful that it blew me back. I didn't fall, but it blew me back. And the gust of wind came into the house. From that moment forward, I started a walking relationship with the Lord. Now, before that moment happened, I talked like a drunken sailor. F this, F that, GD was part of my, at this age, of course, I learned it from my dad. I mean, folks, it was so bad. If my children spoke like that, I would be in jail. I remember praying. Now that I was walking with God, I remember praying, just help me to think about what I'm going to say before I say it, because I can't stop using your name in vain. It just, it just was coming out like vomit. That's the first answered prayer the Lord helped me with. He restored me and gave me a place at the table. Redemption restores. It restores relationships. It restores a place for you to belong. It restores communion between those that you love. Jesus does not forgive us just to send us away. He invites you to stay and dine. That same book, my favorite book that I told you about, says to eat the flesh and drink the blood of Christ is to receive him as a personal Savior. Amen? You know, some of you have been standing near the table. You're close enough to look at it, but you believe that grace is for others and not for you. But Christ says, come. Your seat is not based on your past. It's secured in my sacrifice. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Redemption is Christ inviting undeserving sinners to the table and calling them family. So my appeal today is a simple one. Will you choose now to come to the table? Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for setting a table that we could never afford. Draw the weary, the guilty, and the hesitant. Teach us not only to come, but to stay, to fellowship, and to be transformed. We accept your invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.